Alleluia, Christ is risen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who comforts us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we hear the wonderful events of Mary coming to the tomb and discovering that the stone has been rolled away and that the tomb was empty. And we know that Mary loved Jesus. She was indeed a student of his word. And while Jesus didn't call Mary to be one of his preachers, he did not despise her, but welcomed her to hear his gospel and to learn from him. And God's word wasn't just for the preachers and pastors so that they can grow in it. It's for every man, woman, and child to hear. And we know that Jesus saved Mary. He loved her. In Luke chapter 8, we learn that Jesus had cast out 7 demons from Mary, redeeming her for the kingdom of God. And from that time on, she followed Jesus. And she had provided for Jesus and the disciples out of her own means. She cared for them and served them and showed great love for them. And she listened to the word of God spoken by Christ and given for her salvation. And so here we have a blessed woman who knew what it meant to be crushed under the power of the evil one, as she knew what it meant to suffer in this sinful world. And she also knew who her Redeemer is, as Jesus had mercy on her when she was suffering under her demonic affliction. She had witnessed that same mercy poured out upon many others. And most importantly, she heard the promises of the gospel for the salvation of sinners. She heard of the forgiveness of sin and life and salvation that Christ gave to her and to all who would believe. And hearing this gospel caused her to love Jesus. The love of God the Father was made clear in the work of Christ. He spoke that clear and perfect word of God's mercy for sinners, and this gave Mary joy. And so she followed Jesus throughout his ministry. But now, in the wee hours of the morning, on that first Easter day, Mary was crushed. She watched her Savior die. And she was one of the women who sat at the foot of the cross weeping over the crucifixion of Jesus. She wept to see his suffering and death. She saw Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take his body down from the cross. She watched him as he was laid in the tomb. And now after that Sabbath day, she returns to the tomb to anoint and honor the body of Jesus, only find the tomb opened and the body of Jesus missing. And now we find Mary completely inconsolable. And she runs and tells the disciples that the tomb is open, Christ has been taken. Then she runs back to the tomb after Peter and John. And Peter and John, as they look and see the tomb empty, they leave. But she stays. She wants to find his body. She is grieved. She is crushed. And her grief drives her into deeper grief as she looks frantically for the dead body of Jesus, and she cannot find him. And this is always what our fallen nature wants to do. As Mary looks for comfort in finding a dead Lord, she looks for comfort in finding a dead body. And often that's what our human nature wants to do. It wants to cling to every false idea of comfort, as we're often looking for comfort and hope and peace in all the wrong places. We often gather together in places much like this one. We often hear well-meaning but unhelpful attempts to comfort us. Oh, he lived a good life. Or he's probably looking down on us and smiling right now. Or heaven needed another angel. But those words always seem to fall flat because they don't bring the dead person back to life. And, of course, our search for comfort in all the wrong places goes beyond funerals as we seek comfort in our grief that never really does anything to help the grief. As we look to maybe numb the pain for a moment, And so often people, they'll drink, they'll seek diversions, they'll stay busy, they'll dive into work, they'll dive into a hobby, anything to take their mind off of the death, anything that would dull the pain and the sting of sin that is in our life. Because death is a painful reality because of what it exposes to us. As we read in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. And to be a sinner is to be a person who will die. And we don't want to think about dying because it's part of God's judgment. It's part of the curse of sin, and it hurts. And so we think about this when it comes to our mortality. And it's always shocking that so often people in their old age are taken off guard by the reality that their life will end sooner than later. Let me tell you this, though. If Christ does not return first, my dear friends in Christ, you will die. And so often as we are taken off guard by this reality, the scriptures tell us the years of our lives are 70, or by reason of strength 80, their span is but toil and trouble, and they are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? And so, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We are not put upon this earth to fritter our days away without considering our own mortality. Upon the hour of our death, we will be judged. And a heart of wisdom understands this as we are mortal and we will stand before our Lord and our Judge. And as we don't like to think about this, we spend our days seeking distractions from this reality rather than face it. With a faithful heart that removes the fear of death, we numb ourselves with diversions and vanity. We spend hours upon hours looking at screens, pursuing hobbies, seeking the next vain pleasure that will take our minds off reality, anything other than face the truth, that we are sinners who are mortal and who need rescue. And as we often strive to look for life, or at least improvement in life, in political leaders, wealth, sports, anything to take our minds off the fact that we are sinners who face the Lord's judgment. And so here we have Mary doing the same thing. Mary's grief had her looking for comfort in a corpse. She was so intent on finding the body of her dead Lord that she was blind to the living Lord who was standing before her. One of the most unique and striking details of this account of the resurrection is that Mary, upon seeing the angels in the empty tomb, does not give up her persistent search for the body of Jesus. And as it says, she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and the other at the feet, and they said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then the next big shocker, as we read this text, is that even as she turns from the angels and sees Jesus standing there, she doesn't recognize him. And so she says to them, "They've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they laid him." And having turned from this, she saw Jesus standing but didn't know that it was Jesus. As her grief was so heavy and her distress over the missing body of her Lord was so great that even the presence of angels or the risen Lord himself did not open her eyes to see and rejoice. And even as she turned and saw Jesus, she was unable to recognize him. She thought that he was a gardener, and she asked, "Sir, if you've carried away his body, tell me where you've laid it, and I will take him away." She was looking for the living among the dead, and her grief was crushing her. It was not until Jesus said, "Mary," that she finally recognized him, because he called her by name. Then she saw him, and seeing him changed all that grief and all of that sorrow into joy. And she was no longer left vainly grasping for hope and finding a dead body, but possessing true and enduring joy in seeing her risen and living Lord. And so it is with all Christians. Jesus calls us by name. As we read in Isaiah chapter 43, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Jesus, our good shepherd, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I call my own sheep by name. They hear me, and they follow me." And so, he calls us, and we hear him. That's the mark of a true Christian. Christian are those who have been called into a union with the living Lord Jesus. And that is a union that not even death can destroy. On a human level, the greatest relationship that a person can enter into in this life is probably marriage. Yet even marriage ends when a spouse dies. And because of sin, sometimes marriage tragically ends through divorce. But our union with Jesus cannot even be ended by death or sin. Sin, though it would divide us from Christ, is what Jesus comes to remove from us. Christ died. Mary saw it happen. And yet she did not fully understand what this death meant for her. It was terrifying as the sun was darkened and the earth quaked. Yet when he dies, she does not see what Christ has won. As St. Paul says in Romans, "For the death he died to sin once and for all. And now, the life he lives to God." And in 2 Corinthians, we read, "And he died for all, so that they might no longer live for themselves, but him who died and rose again on their behalf." The death that she witnessed upon the cross was her salvation, as all the sins of the world were heaped upon him. And now he died as the atoning sacrifice for every sinner. And now he lives to bring life to the dead. Before Jesus spoke, Mary's hope was literally a dead hope. She hoped to find Jesus' body. What was she going to do with it? What would she place it? What life would it give her? But upon hearing her Savior's voice, Mary is caused to rejoice. Jesus called her by name. And he does that for his Christians as well. As I heard 37 years ago, Jacob Walker Dandy, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And you, dear Christians, are invited to hear that name as well. Because Jesus washes us. He gives us his name as he applies all that is his upon us through his calling. As he gives us a new birth of water and the Spirit, we are given a new life in him. We are no longer left to the death of sin, but his death is our death and his life is our life. As it says in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." And we read in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Upon this great event, Mary was no longer looking for a dead Lord, but she laid hold of a living Savior. And she was called by name, and she belongs to Jesus. She was incorporated into him. She was given life in him. And all that he has, and all that he has given is for her. All that is vain, all that is sinful, all that is dead is taken away by him. This is the same for everyone who's been called to faith in the risen Savior, as Jesus is God's Son begotten from eternity. We are God's children by adoption and heirs of eternal life that Jesus has won for us. And the life that he now lives, risen from the dead, is at work in all those who are being saved. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of a slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Mary held on to Jesus. Jesus told her to let go. "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And she sees Jesus. And Jesus wants her to hold on to her, or hold on to him in a different way. It is the same way that we are called to hold on to Christ as we cling to him by faith. We hold on to him through baptism, through the preaching of his word, through the gift of the Lord's Supper, and there he feeds us. He washes us, he speaks to us, and he calls us by name so that we are indeed his. We are nothing without him. We are left for dead. We are the dead looking for hope in dead things. We can only flee from God, ignore our mortality, seek vain comforts in this life. And St. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus becomes our everything, and we are given life through him. He rescues us. He forgives our sins. And this forgiveness is sealed in the new reality of a new life that we live in him. We have the total assurance of our forgiveness because it's given by a living Lord. We're not left scrounging around for dead hopes that will perish in this world. We have the living hope of Christ. As St. Peter says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, as he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. And so then we know that wherever Christ is, death doesn't win. Our sins are forgiven by Jesus. There's no scenario where death holds on to a Christian forever. There is no way that it can. It did not conquer Jesus, and it will not conquer those who are bound to him by faith. And so we see Mary's joy as she sees the living and risen Christ. And it's the same joy we have this morning as the sun rises over the mountains this morning. While we do not see his risen body, we do behold him by faith. We know the victory that he has won for us over the power of sin and death, and it is shared with all who trust in him. And so as we stand in the cemetery this morning, we know the victory that Christ has won. Therefore, we know that Christ will do for all of those who are asleep in Jesus. As St. Paul promises, and as God promises through St. Paul, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him all who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are left alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. As we stand in a place where we lay our dead to rest, we do not have a dead hope. And while we are standing in the place where our dead are buried, we know death does not hold the victory over God's saints. We have a living hope, and this hope is built upon the living Lord. Jesus is alive, and now his life is our life, and where he goes, we are bound to follow. So, alleluia. Christ is risen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in the true faith to life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen.